Good to see you all. I'm Cliff, I'm leading the first part of our service this morning, and later on Martin, our minister, is coming to bring God's word. In a moment we'll start our sung worship with a couple of songs, then I've got time of quite a few notices ahead of the lull, I guess, of August. But to begin with, we're going to read and focus on Jesus, and the passage is from Colossians 1. He, being God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He, that is God's Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Jesus is amazing. He is our King. Let's stand to worship him. Yes, Jesus, you are holy, you are the greatest. We do thank you that despite how great you are interested in every element of our individual lives and want to walk with us through life. And we thank you for that. Amen. Amen. Okay, number of notices. I think, Ali, if you wish to make your way up for your to kick off.
Can't guarantee it's as entertaining as last week's notice. Just a reminder that we are having the Quench Christian Bookshop pop-up shop in Cafe Mocha on Saturday. I can't remember the times. I think it's 10:30 to 3:30. Should be on the notice sheet. There's a couple of note posters about as well. I'm not going down to Wokingham this week, so I can't bring anything back because it's already all here. But if you do have any special requests, please do still let me know because it may be that I can order stuff to come direct to the house. So if you've got your eye on a particular Bible that you've seen online and you would like, please drop me an email. Secondly, big church festival, massive music festival, think Glastonbury but Christian. 30,000 Christians gathering together to praise God in a field in Stenning in Sussex. Beautiful location. There's a few going from here. Who's going from here, just out of interest? Because I haven't actually seen the names on the list. Oh, not that many. Yay! Not that many. not as many as before, but that's great. It's going to be phenomenal. We have two spare tickets. A couple of people are not able to go. So if you're interested in going, you haven't booked yet, and you would like to go, please come and see me afterwards, and we can maybe do a deal. You will need to sort out accommodation, unless you're brave enough to camp, but you still need to sort out a tent. But yeah, come and have a chat with me afterwards, and I'll be out in the hall having a cup of tea.
Great, thank you. Okay, so for this morning's service, there's no lead time for the Children for Sunday Club. But for those who are here and may feel that whilst the sermon will clearly be great, if there's very young ones who feel that might be a bit much, they can take their responsible adult with them into the back hall, and there's a few worksheets set out for that. This afternoon, tea time church, 4:30 here. Hopefully many of you were given one of these on your way in. It's a little flyer advertising a number of things that are happening over the summer, including that the next three Sundays, so not today, but three Sundays following today, there's an opportunity to bring a picnic and then join with others from the church, having a picnic on our church base here, out the front if it's still sunny, in the hall if it's not. So that's for the following three Sundays. This coming Tuesday, 12:30, first Tuesday of the month, so it's our time of prayer for anyone that is able to spare an hour at that time. And I think, oh no, two more. Small group Sunday. I know we're just at the beginning of the summer and that's the beginning of the next term, but we want to give good notice for it. It was previously advertised that it was going to be on the 13th of September. It's not. It's going to be on the 6th of September. And that's the opportunity to see what small groups, both the discipleship groups and the interest groups, are available to sign up to for the autumn term. And the final notice is a reminder of the opportunity to give to the work of the church, to give to what God wants to do in us and through us, through financial offerings. There's a couple of boxes that are around the building that enable people to give personally. But if you're able to give via the banks and you're not already lined up to do that, come and speak to one of the leaders afterwards and we'll direct you in the right way in which you can sign up and be part of that additional part of your worship in this part of God's family. Okay, got a brief slot here that on the order of service, it's all age. Now, summer holidays, we never know quite how many to expect, of what particular ages, and I think today certainly some of the younger people coming to Tea Time Church so aren't here this morning. But that doesn't mean that we aren't all included, because it's all age, it's not a children's slot. So I do need a few people who are happy to do a little bit of running and collecting. You don't need to say anything, but have I got one or two young people that are happy to run and collect things? Yeah, couple there and potentially a couple here. Excellent. What I'll explain, underneath some of the seats are some treasures. Don't get excited. Later on, Martin is talking on a passage about treasures, storing up treasures on earth or ideally on heaven. And so I've just got a few things. If you found Caitlin's birthday presents under chairs, they are not the treasures. Don't take them from Caitlin. But there are a number of bits of paper stuck under some chairs. If you can reach under the chair in front of you, and if you find one, hold it up in the air, and one of our young runners will come and collect it. No, all the paper are white. Excellent. Simon's found one. Naomi's found one. So run and collect them and bring them back to me, please. I should have counted how many there were. I think there's 15 in total. Brilliant. Yes, if you can hand me the ones that you've got and then run around and see if there are some more, because that isn't 15 yet, I don't think. So on these things are things that might be considered of value. They might be treasures. And what I want simply people to shout out is, are these things what we might term heavenly treasures, or are they earthly treasures? Lots of money. Earthly. Honesty. Fame. Gold. I'm only going with what they're saying. Sharing Jesus. Fancy car. Faithfulness. Diamonds. Power. Latest fashion. Six, seven, eight. There are five more still out there. And actually, it looks like most of the ones that are still out there are the heavenly ones. Maybe people are holding on to them. They don't want to lose them. I can't remember which seats I put them under. Hannah's found one right at the back. But the very simple point is that there are lots of things in this world and in life that we value. Thank you very much. Kindness. It can be, indeed, yes. Some things definitely are both. Some things really only have value whilst we're on Earth here. The latest iPhone. Other models are available. Humility. Martin can pick the pieces up when he does his preach. But yeah, the idea is that there are lots of things in life that are good and they are of value to us, but there are some things that are far more valuable, and they are heavenly treasures, and they're what we should really hold on to. I read a little snippet this week, and I'm going to stop halfway through the sentence just for you to quietly, in your mind, think what's the end of that sentence. The number of treasures or blessings you have is primarily dependent upon... The number of treasures or blessings you have is primarily dependent upon what? I'm not saying these are the answers, don't answer out loud, but it could be whether you were born into a wealthy family. No. How successful you are at school or in business. Nope. How good you are at making God like you. Nope. What I read was, the number of treasures or blessings you have is primarily dependent upon your ability to see them. And that really struck me, that God has blessed us in so many ways. And some days, if we're feeling healthy, we're feeling the weather's good and everything, it's easy for us to see and count all those blessings. Other days, it might seem a bit of a trudge and that things are going wrong and that you haven't really got many good things to hold on to. But actually, there are so many blessings that God has given us, and if we just take the opportunity to think and to look for them, we will realise how blessed we are. Going to move into our next time of sung worship now, and the obvious song that I thought for this would be 10,000 Reasons, but no, I'm wanting us to continue primarily praising God. And so please stand to sing, "Let Everything That Has Breath Praise the Lord."
Everything that
Take your seats and stay in that space of worship and wanting to see Jesus. And for our time of prayer this morning, just want to try something a little different that involves you, everyone here, quietly praying for the people sat either side of you. And I'd encourage you to take a moment to ask God through his Spirit to prompt your prayers for blessing for that person sat on your left and that person sat on your right. And we'll take a few minutes to quietly do that. And then as we move into our next song, if you feel emboldened or wishing to just gently whisper to the person what it is you felt God led you to pray for that person, then please do that. But let's just take a couple of quiet moments. Dear Lord, we do thank you that you love the person sat next to us so much. Thank you that you want good for them and to bless them. I pray that their eyes may be opened to see the great and many ways in which you have already blessed them, and give them an anticipation that you want to continue drawing them close to you, and that a closer walk with you brings blessings in its own right. And so, Lord, do pray that for each individual person in this building today. But Lord, we do thank you that you have such great love, that you love every individual on this planet. And Lord, it's difficult for us to comprehend that you know each individual and you seek to bless each individual. You know the difficulties, the challenges, and the joys and the good bits that everyone is facing today. Lord, thank you that you are so great that you can meet everyone's needs. We bless you and thank you for that. Amen. Okay, have one more song now, and after this, Venice is going to come and give this morning's reading before Martin comes forward.
Please stand if you're able.
The reading is taken from Matthew 6, verses 19 to 24. Do not lay up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Thanks, Vanessa. Morning, everyone. Before I share some thoughts on that passage, there is something else just to mention this week. Later on this week, people from our church are going to be going off to Dane Hill once again for the youth week away. And I believe I'm right in saying the leaders go on Wednesday and then the young people go on Thursday. So this won't be embarrassing at all, but if you're going to Dane Hill, could you please stand up for a minute? Okay, they're all at the back nearly, aren't they? Look at that. And there's a couple at the front there, I couldn't see them behind. Okay, if you can just look at one of these lovely young people, or Rob or Libby. Well, you're not young people. You're lovely older people. We're just going to pray for them as they go. So if you can turn around and look at them, that's lovely. If you can put your hand out just to bless them, that would be lovely too. But let's pray for them. Father God, we thank you for Dane Hill. We thank you for the impact it's made on the lives of so many of our young people and other young people from other churches over the years. And as our crew go this week, Lord, we pray your blessing on them. Blessing and strength if they're leaders. Blessing and enthusiasm and energy if they're going as part of a group. But Lord, we just thank you that there's this opportunity for them to go to serve you, to meet with you, and to share your love with others. May it be a time of great blessing. May it be a time of great encouragement. And may they bring some great stories back for us to hear next month. Lord, we lift them up to you. We ask that you bless them and that you watch over them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I'll take a slurp of the... Stuff. Stuff. Interesting word, isn't it? We all have it. We were down at Matthew and Isabel's yesterday. They're getting ready to move house tomorrow. And they live in quite a small little flat. But they've got a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And I think that the truth is that when we move house, we kind of expand to fill if our house gets bigger. And we struggle to fit it if we then downsize. But we all have stuff. And in our society today, quite often, either on TV or social media or advertising, we're told to get more stuff. And it often comes with a message around it, doesn't it? So it's not just buy our stuff, it's good for you. The sneaker makes the man. Fellas, that's where we've been going wrong. We've been buying Skechers. And we should be buying Nike. And that the way, honestly, did you spend your youth dreaming about someday owning a Nissan or a Mitsubishi? You want a Porsche. That's just a matter of opinion. Other cars and adverts are available, but you get the point. There's a message within the advert that stirs up something within us that says our life is missing that particular thing. We need more stuff, and we need the stuff that's being advertised to us. If we only had that shirt, if we only wore that aftershave or perfume, if we only drove that car, lived in that house, or had that body, following Cliff, our lives would be so much better. That's what the adverts tell us. And there's a whole industry that's grown up, and its main purpose is to make us dissatisfied with what we've got and to make us want more stuff to fill our houses and to surround our lives with, to make us feel important, clever, or just that we've made it. And actually, it happens so often, we can get a bit desensitized to it. We don't even realize it's happening. Unless it's one of these. Whenever one of these comes up, I immediately want a KFC. And that shows the power of advertising, doesn't it? Doesn't matter what time of day it is. And maybe you've got a trigger advert as well. Oh yes, I really want one of those now. But it's there, it's the power of advertising that makes us want something that a minute ago we didn't even know we needed. As I said, the whole industry is set up to make us feel dissatisfied with what we have. Their sole aim is to get us to spend our money on their particular project. And there's one thing in particular that seems to be very good at this sort of thing. And that's these. We've already mentioned iPhones. This is an iPhone. Other phones are available. What is the current model of iPhone? It's about iPhone 53, isn't it? Or something. Okay. They bring a new one out every year, and the pressure is, you must have this new iPhone because it's got one new gadget that the phone that you brought last year hasn't got. You've now got four cameras on your phone. I don't even want one particularly. But it's designed to make you think that the model that you've got isn't good enough anymore. Now, I'm quite proud. This is an iPhone 11. So that's quite old now. But some people, the message comes out, and particularly aimed at young people, it seems, that you have to have the most expensive latest phone or you're not cool. Or you have to have the most expensive latest trainers or sneakers, as our advert called them, or you're not cool. Or imagine when you were younger, those of you who are older, in the run-up to Christmas, suddenly there was a toy that you'd never heard of before that all of a sudden you had to have. Otherwise, Christmas was ruined. Or was that just in my family? I know it wasn't, because there's been movies that have been made about this whole subject. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jingle All the Way. There was one a couple of years ago called Click and Collect, where Stephen What's-His-Face, who's about 7 foot tall, driving all the way up to the north of England to buy some silly unicorn toy because his daughter had to have it. And as we get older, the must-have things seem to get a bit more expensive. But the message is still the same. Your life isn't complete without this particular product. But then what happens when we buy that particular product? Well, if it's a phone, it goes out of fashion within about 6 months. Or it breaks. Or it simply gets old. And yet we go on buying stuff, believing the promise that life will be better if we have the latest model or just one more. I've been very reluctant to mention football shirts because this is one that suckers me. You've got to have the latest shirt for your team. What's really good now, though, is that retro shirts are coming in. So One that I bought 20 years ago, if I can still get into it, is now cool to wear again. Problem is, it seems to have shrunk. Some of you are laughing just a little bit too much at that one. And the thing is, as we amass more stuff, does life get better, or does it just simply get more cluttered? And at one level, this behaviour is understandable. If you believe that this life is all there is, you want to fill it with everything because you've only got it for this life. You want to make the most of it. You want to make a mark. You want to be remembered for something. Or do you remember so-and-so? He drove a Rolls Royce. Yeah, but he's still dead now, isn't he? But that's the mentality. And so people chase money to buy lots of things, to fill their houses, to show others how successful, important, and powerful they are. And that's understandable if you believe that this life is all there is. Because if there's no meaning and no purpose to life, you want to fill it with stuff to make yourself feel better. But what if this life is not all that there is? What if there is more to life? Does that change the way we think? Does it change the way we act? Does it change the things we chase after? Does it change our definition of success? If we know there's more to life, what does success look like? The Bible teaches us that there is more to life. We weren't just born to pay bills and then die. We weren't just born to be taxed by the latest government and then die. There is more to life than what we see. It goes beyond this earthly existence into an eternal one. And Jesus, the one who makes that eternal life possible through his death and resurrection, has something to say about how we relate to money and possessions, power and priorities here in today's passage. And it's something that helps us be set free. Because some people are imprisoned by the desire to get more stuff, to get the latest this, the latest that, the latest whatever, to keep up with the Joneses. Not the ones who come to this church, but the more generic one. And Jesus' message is stark, and it points to the futility of chasing after things. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." And here's the clincher at the end. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you value the most, you will chase after. What you value the most will shape your life and your behaviour through life. So let's ask ourselves some questions and give ourselves an honest answer. Am I someone who's always looking for something new, something bright, and something shiny to make my life better? If you are, just check in the mirror and see that you're not a magpie. If I'm having a bad day or a week, do I take myself off for some retail therapy? Do I often compare what I have and what I earn with other people? Do I think that if I had just a little bit more, I would be satisfied? Just a newer phone, just a bigger house, just a better car. If we're answering yes to any of these, here's a quote from somebody who had a lot of money, a chap called J.D. Rockefeller. And at his time, he was one of the richest people in the world. And depending on which account you read, he was either asked this or he's made this question himself. How much money does it take to make a man happy? This is the richest man in the world. He's got money to buy everything. Here's his answer. Just one more dollar. It's never enough. And we see that in our world today. Business tycoons, certain politicians, certain national leaders chasing that extra dollar, ruble, zloty, pound, yen, whatever you want to call it. They're not satisfied unless they've got more than they started with. And if you're not satisfied unless you've got more, you're never going to be satisfied. Never. Because you've never got enough. So people ruin their lives chasing the next dollar or pound. What good does it do them at the end of their lives, though? Here's something Jesus said to the man who had so much stuff, he built massive barns to store it in. Possibly a lesson to certain people who run things like FIFA and the United States at the moment. You fool, says Jesus, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. That's quite a stern warning, isn't it? Yeah, Jesus is making it really, really clear here that chasing after earthly treasures is a waste of time. I mean, there is a problem here, isn't there? Earthly treasures are easy to see and to hold and to smell and to feel and all those sorts of things. Heavenly treasures feel a little bit more ethereal. And we like to be able to see things. That's why songs like Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, are so important. Quick question. When we sing that song, how many of us close our eyes with that first line? Always makes me laugh. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I know these aren't the eyes of my heart, but it just makes me laugh. So what does it mean to be rich towards God? Obviously, it means storing up treasures in heaven. Living a life chasing after the things of God is what it means to be rich. Chasing after love, chasing after grace, mercy, forgiveness, kindness, gentleness. What else do we have over here? Faithfulness, honesty, humility, sharing Jesus. You could have power, God's power, chasing, not just chasing God's power for the sake of it, but chasing God so that he can use his power through us to bless other people, to change things. Living a life that reflects the love and character of God. How do we know what that's like? We look to Jesus. Know the truth, Jesus, and the truth will set you free. Today we're thinking about him setting us free from being prisoners to ambition and greed and money and stuff. We don't even know it, but our stuff can imprison us. Because we get so concerned about our stuff that we organise our lives around making sure nobody else nicks our stuff. So we put safes in our houses, or we get a safety deposit box at the bank, or we put an alarm system around our house. Do you know what? They just stress the life out of you, alarm systems, don't they? As soon as you're out the door, did I set the alarm? When you get back, I can't remember the code. The alarm's going to go off in a minute and it's going to be really loud. These things aren't setting us free. They're chaining us up. But the world says this is what we should chase after. But Jesus says no. Live a life that reflects the love and character of the God who sent Jesus to save us. Live a life that reflects the new hope and the forgiveness and the grace and the new perspective and the new priorities that come with knowing the truth, and the truth is setting us free from the prison of having to have more stuff, more money. It means recognizing that our security doesn't come through the things that we buy or how much we earn or what we drive or what we wear. Our security comes through who we know. It comes through Jesus, the King of Glory, who's coming on the clouds. In him, in his words, not in the things the world tells us to chase after. Could be summed up later on in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says this. He says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these things, and he's just talked through a whole list of things that cause us worry, that we want to have, stuff. If we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, God will give us the stuff that we need. God will give us the money that we need. God will give us what we need. But if we seek those first, they will tie us up in knots. They will imprison us, and they will damage our relationship with God and with other people. So the call is not to build up treasures on earth, but to build up treasures in heaven by seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Because knowing the truth sets us free from worrying about things. Knowing the truth sets us free from comparing ourselves to others. Because the truth says, God loves me, full stop. The truth doesn't say, God will love me if I wear Nike sneakers. The truth doesn't say, God will love me if I drive a Porsche. The truth simply says, God loves me. I don't need anything else for my security, because my security comes in knowing I'm loved by God from before the beginning of the world. It sets us free from comparing ourselves to others, because God looks at each of us and says, I love you with absolutely everything I've got. So I don't need to compare myself with Bob. God loves us both equally. I don't need to compare myself with Julian. God loves us both equally. If I had time, I'd go around every name in the room, but I haven't. But God loves us all equally. We don't have to compare ourselves. It's not about how we look. It's not about where we went to school, where we came from, what level of education we've got. God loves us because he made us. You don't need, you can be set free from comparing yourself to others. We can be set free from chasing money, because we have all the riches in Christ that we need. It doesn't matter if you've got £1 in your bank account or £1 million in your bank account. When you die, you can't take it with you. It can't keep you alive. Jesus is the one who gives us life and hope. And in his word, it talks about us reigning with him, heirs and co-heirs of Christ. All the riches of heaven are waiting for us when we go to be with Jesus, and are shared with us if we're observant enough and if we're aware enough as we go through this life, as we switch our priority from chasing things to fixing our eyes on things above. Not to be all wishy-washy, airy-fairy, too spiritual for our own good, but to recognise that that is the source of all that we need. One commentator, whose first name may be Tom, and whose last name may be Wright, says this. He says, learn to live in the presence of a loving Father. Learn to do everything for him and him alone. Get your priorities right, or as we've already heard Jesus say, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We make time and effort for the things that really matter to us, and it shows in the way we live our lives, spend our money, and treat other people. With God as our treasure, money, as with all other things, becomes our servant and becomes a resource to spread the gospel and lead others to Jesus, building the kingdom and investing in eternity. With money or possessions as our treasure, our attention is taken away from God and the things that really matter. They become literally false gods. Anything that takes God's place in our lives is a false god. It's an idol. And our life is being steered away from the direction of God's will for us. That's why Jesus said you cannot serve both God and money. No man or woman can serve two masters. And it's why Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, and we make sure we get the quotation correct, the love of money is the root of all evil. You'll hear people say, oh, the Bible says money is the root of all evil. No. The love of money is the root of all evil. Anything we love before God becomes a rival to him and pulls us away from him. When we put God first in all things, we build up treasures in heaven that last as we find ourselves free from the worries and concerns that come with chasing earthly treasures. Another commentator, whose name I didn't write down, says this, says, wise people, the true children of the kingdom, put their treasure where they cannot lose it, where it will never wear out and where it can never be eroded. Their treasure is in heaven. It's safe with the Father. Safe with the Father. Now, please be clear on this. Money and possessions are in themselves not evil. They can be really useful servants to us. They can be a blessing from God to us and through us to others. If we're blessed with plenty, we can hold lightly to it and share it with others who don't have so much. We can put our money and our possessions, as well as our time, to good work in the spreading of the gospel and building God's kingdom. In themselves, they are not evil. It's how we use what we have that is really important. What we make our priority that is really important in storing up treasures in heaven and in being free from the tyranny of stuff. There's an echo here of the first commandment that God gave to the Israelites, to have no other gods before him. To find our security and prosperity in a relation with him where we use what we have for his glory. So that leads to a question or two to finish. And again, we need to answer this honestly. Where is our treasure? What do we chase after most? Who are we serving as our master? How are we using what we have to spread the good news of Jesus? Are we holding on to stuff too tightly? And what is God saying to us today about all of these things? One thing he's clearly saying is don't store up treasures on earth, but in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves cannot steal. But that is something each of us needs to work out in our own lives. There's no blanket solution, there's no silver bullet or golden bullet. Our responsibility now is to say, God, I've heard what you've said this morning. What does that mean for me and my life? Me and my money, me and my possessions. The song we sang before I stood up talked about everything being in Jesus. And that has to be our starting point, surely. Recognizing that everything we have is a gift from God, then using that to build his kingdom. Let's be quiet for a moment. Loving God, we thank you that you give us so many good things through Jesus, our Saviour. Lord, we're sorry when we take those for granted or when we put those aside to chase after money or possessions or fame or power. Lord, you know our hearts, you know where our treasure is. Would you please speak to us and help us to make sure that you are our treasure so that we can be free? Would you speak to our hearts so that we can see that you are our security, so that we can be confident? And would you speak to our hearts that you are our future, so that we can be hopeful? Lord, if we've been chasing the wrong things, there is no condemnation when we bring it to you and ask for your forgiveness. And so if we are chasing the wrong things, make it clear so that we can repent, so that we can turn to you, so that we can walk in freedom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing an older hymn that really emphasises what we've just been thinking about. But just want to say that if God has touched you in any way this morning about anything, whether it's what we've been speaking about or anything else, the prayer team will be down the front at the end. Please do come and get some prayer if God's been speaking to you this morning. Always calls for a response in us, and it's always good to share that response with somebody else so that we can have a witness. Because we're very good at forgetting. Did I really say that to God? Did I really do that? And so it's always good to share that with somebody else if we can. But let's stand in for over two and make this song a prayer of commitment and determination going forward. Yeah. So as we go from this place, Lord, may we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. May he be our vision. May he be our treasure. And Lord, may it show in our lives, especially if we've been chasing fool's gold. But Lord, whatever, may it show to others that Jesus is our heart's desire and our treasure. And may we live our lives in a way that demonstrates that, displays that, and attracts other people to Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.